Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 6. Worship the Creator. The Old Testament prophets, they were called by God with special warnings, especially for the rulers in a country and for the spiritual leaders as well. Idolatry and oppression. In Psalm 115, we see into God's heart. We read, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works." Why so? Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Why should we do this? Why is the psalmist writing such things? Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the world. This text shows us a way of healing. We as people tend to be in our individual acting to perform according to our will. I want this, I want that. I do not want to obey. I know what I know. I know what I will. I know what I want to do. And here we see, give thanks to the Lord. Listen to him. Praise him. Sing unto him. Psychotherapy. It's good for us to have someone above us who is wiser than we are, who has more experience than we have, who loves us more than anybody else. It's good to have such a person above you, isn't it? And if we listen to such a wonderful person, our God, we are blessed. So these texts, that we should give thanks to him and honor him and remember his deeds, be thankful, this helps us for our character, for a joyful life, for quality in life, for everything. It's written for us, not against us. So if you read it, oh, why should I do this? Why should I do this? I do not want to. It helps you, therefore it is written, for you, for your health, for your joy, for your happiness, that you are blessed. Texts in the Bible are written that your life will blossom. Remember, God is your friend. a reason to worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, so the fifth book of Moses, we read in verse 16 and the following. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. An interesting parable. And be no more stiff-necked. Pride. I am. Look at me. He is the one who says, our God, I am. I was, I am, and I will be. And we can only say, at the moment we are, and in a jiffy, we are not here anymore, because then we are dead. And you want to be stiff-necked? Crazy, isn't it? There is one who lives forever, and he wants to give us eternal life. And we think we are gods ourselves? Be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons, nor takes reward. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. God takes care of the weakest in society. Love you therefore the stranger. Why so? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You've been strangers yourself. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God that has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. And something to remember for the Israelites. Your fathers, more than 400 years ago, went down into Egypt with 70 persons. 70 persons they had been in the beginning when they settled in Egypt. 70 persons. And now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. Now they are millions. Interesting, isn't it? And God tells them, remember, you've been 70 people about 400 years ago, 70, and now you are millions. Be thankful. Now what does this say to us nowadays, the present? Remember the past. Where have you been? Where have you come out? Where are you now? All the blessings, where did they come from? Who is responsible for that? There is a God in heaven, and he takes care of you. And when you remember what has been, when you think about all these special happenings in your life, there has been a guiding hand, and if you listened, you were blessed. There is a God in heaven who takes care of you, and whenever you listen, you are better off. And if you do not listen, you do not want to end in such a trouble, do you? Listen to him. Religious oppresses. When people are oppressed, it is bad. But when people are oppressed by religious people, it's worse. It's the worst. And we hear about scandals of priests, of spiritual leaders, acts in misleading young persons into perverted sexual behaviors. It's abnormal misuse everywhere. Religious oppression. Now, in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 10 we hear, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah," Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities at the coast of the Dead Sea, or better to say, at the bottom of the Dead Sea now. Because of their bad moral actions, these two cities fell into the pit. The bottomless abyss. Verse 11, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat beasts. I delight not in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination upon me." And so on. "When you spread forth your hands," verse 15, "I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear." We are astonished. Did they come to the temple? They bring their sacrifices. What's wrong? "Your hands are full of blood." That's the point. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." The prophet Micah in chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, he says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and how myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" So is this something, is it fine for him when I come like this? "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?" Thousands. "Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Should I do this?" He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" Now here is the answer. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Here is the answer. a way to worship. In Isaiah 58, we get in detail information from the Almighty. People were fasting, and they say in Isaiah 58, verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted?" say they. And you do not see it. "Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors." Ah, here is the answer. "Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." And then, in verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Now, we get an idea. What is the better way? "Loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke." It is not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall bring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. There is a misunderstanding, which is very popular. You want to do something, the sight of the Lord, to show him, "Look at me. I do not eat, I fast. Oh, I collect some points." This is a misunderstanding. It doesn't work like this. If you go on in your attitude as before, he wants to change your mind. He wants you not just to act like an egoist. Me, 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 everything for me, me, me. And then I do some religious ceremonies and everything will be okay. Oh, no, it's not okay. He wants to change your heart, your attitude toward people. He wants you to act as he wants you to act. In these texts, we find as a summary a quotation from Ellen G. White. She says, "Upon those who keep the Sabbath of the Lord is laid the responsibility of doing a work of mercy and benevolence." A work of mercy and benevolence. Not performing religious duties, ceremonial duties, a work of mercy. It's something with empathy, compassion, something which you take into your heart. That you weep when you see the misery of someone. God sees your tears. Although you are helpless and may not be able to do anything about it, but he sees your attitude And he isn't the one who is happy when he just does something on the surface. He wants you to go deeper, much deeper. It's good for you. Therefore, he wants you to act like this. Mercy and faithfulness. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, we read in chapter 12, verse 38, "And Jesus said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes." They were the doctors of theology. They were the spiritual leaders. And Jesus warns his followers. He warns them, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, that they are honored and people greet. And the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. They like that. But in reality, what do? Which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. It's not real. These shall receive greater damnation. Spiritual leaders should lead to God and not acting in spiritual ways for showing something which is not real. The text we find in Matthew 23, it was addressed by Jesus to the leading class. And the text we read there, a harsh critic. Matthew 23, verse 23. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Hypocrites, that's the point. "You give a tenth even of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." A tenth even of spices, so little. So they go into the detail. "But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's Jesus' address to the scribes and Pharisees on the last day before he was arrested and killed by these very people. And he said it with a weeping voice. He wanted them to turn around. Otherwise, they would go to hell. Jesus wants to save. He doesn't want to condemn. That's not his aim. But he has to, if people do not listen. The religious practices, all these services, they are not wrong in themselves, but they should not take the place of treating others fairly. You cannot just leave the one without the other. It belongs together. And if there's only the ceremonial form and not the heart of it, the love for God in the center, everything is in vain. Every religious service is in vain if it is without love for God. Summary. When we look at this piece of art made by the Austrian artist Maximilian Jantscher, we are shown here something from history. In the middle of Europe, in the Alps, in the Habsburg monarchy, they were Roman Catholics, the family of Habsburg, and in those days an area around Salzburg was a dominion of the Roman Catholic Church, of the Archbishop of Salzburg. And he heard that in a certain valley, high up in the mountains, 1,500 meters high, the valley on this level, so three parts of the year, snow. And there, Protestants came up in a dominion of the Roman Catholic territory. And the Archbishop was so furious about it, and he ordered, throw them out, send them away. I do not want to have any Protestants in my dominion. And people told him, if they all go away, there will be thorns and thistles. They are farmers. If they do not care for the land, it will be lost for us. And no more taxes will be there when there is no one around. And this Archbishop, he said, it's better that thorns and thistles are there than Protestants. In the winter of 1684 and 1685, and there happened something in the Defferreckental in Osttirol, in Austria. Families, hundreds of families, had to leave because they were Protestant families and they did not want to give up their faith. So they were ordered, leave the country, leave it. I do not want you to be here anymore. But your children, you have to leave behind. And here we see such a scene, a father kissing his son for the last time. Religious oppression. It happened in Israel thousands of years ago, and it happened 300 years ago. It happened and happened in history again and again. On the right of the bottom, we see the spiritual leaders and the soldiers. Soldiers are used to perform the duties. They have to work for the Roman Catholic Church. And these people were sent away in winter time at Christmas when the snow was as high and thick as people were tall. Religious oppression. It happened in the past. Again and again. And God hates it. And he hears the cries of the oppressed. He saw the tears of fathers and mothers. He saw their weeping. And we have stories that one of these children, he was brought as he was young to a Roman Catholic family, trained to the Roman Catholic faith, and he was told about his father and mother, how bad they had behaved, how badly. They have left you as a young child, they have gone away. So they are sick in their mind. And when he had grown up, this Protestant boy who had now become a Roman Catholic citizen, he wanted to look for his parents, and he followed their footsteps, and he said, if I find them, I will tell them my opinion about leaving me behind as a young child, because he was misinformed. And really, he found his father and his mother in their old days. And then they told him the truth. He was shocked. So he was misinformed. And he continued his way in the following. He wrote a book. And this book was sold among the children who had now been grown-ups and had been trained in the Roman Catholic tradition. And this book was spread widely and read widely. And many of these children who had been left behind and had been trained to be Roman Catholics became then Protestants again when they were grown-ups, when they discovered the real history of their lives.